It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. Wisconsin is getting ready for summer, and for a lot of people, that may bring to mind things like brats and beer in the backyard or cracking open a cold one at the lake. For the first story in WPR's series, High Tolerance, Laurel White looks at why alcohol plays such an outsized role in many people's image of Wisconsin.
The sun is just starting to come up on Sunday morning. It's just before 6 a.m., about 40 degrees, and people are swaddled in sleeping bags in a brewery parking lot. Greg Francik is awake, sitting in a lawn chair.
But yeah, right now I think pretty much mostly everyone's sleeping. There's still a few people up that, like, you know, just up all night.
You can see air mattresses poking out of a few tents people have brought. Some people have also brought grills to the parking lot and are starting to make breakfast. Nick Courtney is one of them.
It's a thing to do. You show up, you have some fun, you drink some beers, you grill some meat.
The vibe is like camping meets music festival meets doorbuster line on Black Friday. So why are these people here?
You get something beer related at the end.
There's a huge beer selection.
Good beer.
Being able to try different beers.
To share beers.
Really good beers.
Beer.
All the people in this line are here for just one thing. They're all waiting in line to buy tickets to a craft beer festival called Great Taste of the Midwest. The tickets go on sale in 6 hours. This is Wisconsin, and people are passionate about their beer. In fact, eating and drinking outside is Wisconsinites' second favorite recreational outdoor activity. A survey out this month from the State Department of Natural Resources ranked it just behind walking and running. Julia Sherman is the coordinator of the Alcohol Policy Project at the UW-Madison. She says alcohol is associated with things like summertime, sports, and college campuses just about everywhere. But she says Wisconsin is different.
I think that a lot of it comes from the fact that it's not specific occasions, it's almost every occasion.
The Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project estimates, based on federal statistics, the average Wisconsinite has 634 drinks each year. That's nearly 150 more than the national average. Jim Drager was a historic preservation officer for the state and is the author of Bottoms Up, a book that explores the history of bars and brewing in Wisconsin. He says there's a cultural consensus that Wisconsin is a place that imbibes freely and frequently.
People are told to think of Wisconsin that way because people constantly talk about it that way.
Drager says media plays a big part in perpetuating the stereotype of Wisconsin as a boozy state. That includes comedians like Lewis Black.
I love Wisconsin. I love coming here. I perform here a lot because I've discovered that you people apparently have some sort of federal grant for drinking.
Drager says Wisconsinites play into this sort of message.
People are more outwardly social about alcohol in Wisconsin than they are in other places.
Drager says examples of that include things like craft beer festivals or just drinking at bars. He says Wisconsin has, historically and today, more bars than the vast majority of other states. Julia Sherman agrees availability of alcohol plays a big role in shaping Wisconsin's identity.
We're, to my knowledge, the only state where you can have an alcohol, a beer, wine, and distilled spirits tasting at a gas station.
Sometimes Wisconsinites poke fun at their own image as social drinkers. Sherman calls it a perverse pride.
But attitudes can change, and attitudes are going to have to change here in Wisconsin.
Sherman says the cultural association Wisconsinites sometimes embrace has a dark side and a high cost. Healthcare costs, law enforcement costs, and human costs when lives are lost. She says to avoid racking up more of those costs, Wisconsin communities need to embrace other parts of the state's identity. So she issues this gentle reminder. Wisconsin has a lot more to offer than just a cold beer. Laurel White, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And now we're joined by WPR News Director Noah Ovshinsky here to talk with us about WPR's High Tolerance series. Noah, good morning.
It is good to be here. Thanks, John.
So let's start with this. What is the High Tolerance series?
This was a series that was born out of a retreat that we had with the newsroom late last year. We were brainstorming, and we wanted to take advantage of a year that did not have any major elections, and so we had a little bit of extra sort of journalism time on our hands. And we wanted to do a project that would utilize our entire newsroom, which, of course, is located around the state. And we wanted to add to the body of already existing reporting on a topic that is big here in Wisconsin. And alcohol was number one on that list.
Well, Wisconsin certainly, as Laurel's piece points out, certainly has a national reputation. Our cities show up really high in areas where there's lots of drinking involved. And the reason for doing this series now is, well, this is our opportunity because there aren't any other big news events happening in the state. What kinds of stories can we expect to hear as this series rolls out?
Well, as you know, John, in journalism, you know, outliers often make really good stories. And as we heard in Laurel's story, and as the audience will hear over the coming 2 weeks, Wisconsin is an outlier in many, many ways when it comes to alcohol. How we buy it, where we buy it, how much we drink of it, the cost here in the state. When you compare Wisconsin to other states with how we deal with alcohol in the criminal justice system, we are an outlier. And so there are various stories that we have taken on to look at that sort of outlier status. And I have to say, for us, John, one of the challenges was really finding the right tone for the series because, of course, and as the title suggests, this relationship is very complicated. And that tone, finding that right tone, has a lot to do with capturing both the good and the bad. And we wanted to be really nuanced with the storytelling with this series. And I think we've done that.
And of course, Wisconsin has a long history of the production of various types of alcohol. And so this has been part of our culture for, well, more than a century. And so are we going to hear about some of that history?
Absolutely. We're going to go back to Prohibition days to talk about how the current system of how we buy and purchase alcohol and how it's distributed around the state, how that has changed and how the role that alcohol plays at the state capitol and the spheres of influence that exist in the alcohol business, specifically the relationship between, you know, manufacturers, distributors and retailers, and how complicated the system is. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the role of alcohol in sort of our political culture, in the sense that our politicians often use alcohol as sort of an image to celebrate and to I guess show their sort of, you know, bona fides, I suppose, with Main Street, except, you know, here in Wisconsin, it's not necessarily something that's manufactured. Here in Wisconsin, it's typical for politicians to share a beer with their constituents. And so that's one of the things we'll be talking about as well.
And you mentioned that Wisconsin has news bureaus and reporters all across the state. As you look at the stories that the reporters are submitting and producing, are we seeing differences by region in terms of how our state deals with alcohol?
Right. I mean, obviously, in the area of treatment, for example, John, you know, finding good treatment for substance abuse, in this case, alcohol, is very difficult if you live in rural areas. There isn't a lot of good treatment options, especially those sort of inpatient residential facilities. There aren't many of them around Wisconsin and certainly not in our rural areas. So we'll dig into the treatment options available to people. We also talk about, you know, the importance of breweries and wineries and how these businesses are becoming economic drivers in areas around rural Wisconsin, bringing much needed dollars into these smaller towns.
Yet we really have seen an explosion in craft beer, local wine production, and more recently in craft distilleries. We're going to look at that too, I imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a big part of this story. And when we talk about sort of the nuance and finding the sort of the right tone with this project, of course, there's devastating loss associated with alcohol here in the state, but it is also an economic driver, you know, especially in rural areas, and it also represents, you know, joy and celebration for many people in Wisconsin.
Will we be hearing about how Wisconsin became a state that is so identified and entwined with alcohol?
Yeah, I think so. I think the audience will hear it in many different ways, both on the political front, on the cultural front, how alcohol is treated differently in the criminal justice system here in Wisconsin. We'll talk about the people who's made their profession in alcohol and how that's changed their lives and how they've become, you know, well-known people in their industries by becoming very good, you know, brewers, distillers, winemakers, et cetera. So I think it's going to be a really interesting series that's going to touch on a lot of different parts of this very complicated topic.
And you mentioned earlier the series will run for 2 weeks. We started, obviously, this morning. How often will we be hearing these reports?
Yeah, roughly two stories a day, actually. So more than just around two dozen stories we produced for this series.
And it's taken several months for our reporters to gather all this information and so forth and get the finished products ready to go.
Yeah, the series was born in last December, and we've been in production more or less since then.
And for listeners who would like to get more information on the topic, or maybe they missed a report, where can they go to find that information?
I'm going to strongly encourage people to go to WPR.org/alcohol. That's where you're going to be able to read and listen to all of our stories associated with this series. And many of these stories will be a little bit more detailed than the radio stories. And like I say, this is a very nuanced series. So I think it would benefit from people visiting the websites and reading these larger stories that, unfortunately, we probably had to cut for the radio.
Yeah, well, radio is governed by time, and that's always our big obstacle. We've got about 30 seconds left here, Noah. What was the biggest surprise you got in terms of what you heard from your reporters here?
Yeah, I think among the biggest surprises was really how nuanced this was. You know, we talked to people who had very strong feelings about alcohol, both in the positive and the negative. But the one thing most people agree on is it is still something that hugely influences our state politically and culturally.
Noah, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I appreciate your time.
It was good to be here. Thanks, John.
Noah Ovshinsky, WPR's news director. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent on The Morning Show.